This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sky Blues Extra podcast with me, Tom Ward. And as always, the podcast is kindly sponsored by the Sky Blue Tavern, which is the best place in town to catch all of the action whilst enjoying a nice cold pint and, of course, one of their lovely curries. Pleased to be joined this evening by Ross and Andy. Evening, chaps. It's been a good while since we three have been on, so pleased to have you on, chaps. How are you both doing?
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, nice to be back on after a bit of a break for Christmas and New Year. So, yeah, happy to be back on the pod, mate, yeah.
How you doing, Ross?
Yeah, very well, mate. Yeah, it's good to be on with you both. It has been a while, so you know, the A team is sort of been brought back, you know, after the sort of winter, the extended World Cup break we were given, you know. Yeah. But it's good to be back on because it has been a little while. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely looking forward to it. Disappointing, obviously, for the Sky Blues on Saturday, slipping to a 4-2 defeat in the early kickoff at the CBS. Very cold afternoon at CBS. There was even ice melting off the roof, which has caused a bit of a few complaints on Twitter. But Ross, did you manage to avoid the dripping roof yesterday?
I did actually. I think if I'd been in my normal seat, I probably wouldn't have sort of survived that. But no, luckily I took a leaf out of Dino's book and I decided to join the prawn sandwich eating brigade in a box yesterday, so I could sort of stay inside. It was bitterly cold. So no, luckily I avoided that. I did see on Twitter everybody, you know, kicking up a fuss about being dripped on here. Clearly they didn't understand the sort of geography and, you know, how things melt and, you know, when it gets really cold and that's what causes it. I think people suddenly thought the roof was leaking completely. But it was a nice sunny day though. I sort of quite like that weather, to be fair. Cold, but like nice sky blue skies, bright sunshine. I was feeling pretty optimistic, mate, at 10:30 in the morning when I sank my first pint, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a lovely day. But yeah, as you say, not obviously best in terms of what happened on the pitch. Andy, what were the match stats like for the game on Saturday?
Not great, Tom, to be honest, mate. Norwich dominated the ball. We only had 34% possession. We completed 208 passes compared to their 509. So you can tell the difference. Obviously, they've just been relegated from the Premier League. You can tell they keep the ball a lot better. And they were, if we're being honest, they were a class above us then yesterday in most departments, I think. Shots on goal, we had 11 attempts, 4 on goal, which isn't too bad. It's okay, it's average. But they had 18 compared to our 11, and they had 7 on target. So, like I said, they were a cut above us yesterday, Tom. We're going on the stats, and I think it showed in the game as well.
Yeah, particularly in that second half, it felt like we just couldn't really get a foothold at all, could we? They really sort of controlled the game, I thought, and I think that's very much reflected, especially in that those possession and the passing stats, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah, very much so. I was quite optimistic at half-time. I thought, you know, even though how bad the first 15, 20 minutes was, I thought we got back, we showed some good character and got back into the game well. I just think I was expecting more from the second half, if I'm being honest, and they just dominated the ball, didn't they? And their class showed in the end with a good finish, which could have been avoided, but a good finish with the fourth goal. But no, I was a bit disappointed with our second half performance. Whether we were a bit tired, a bit leggy, it looked a bit like that, didn't it?
Definitely, definitely thought that.
And also, you know, when they're bringing certain people off the bench, which have Premier League experience compared to what we've got on the benches, it's worlds apart, and that's the way it is at the moment for us. But we've got to just hold in tight. Good times are on the way for me.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it's a difficult period, but, you know, it will get better.
It seems to be happening week after week, Andy, you know, that we see the opposition being able to bring on players.
Yeah.
With this pack schedule, same at Burnley last week. And, you know, we just, you know, we'll probably go on to talk about it a bit more. We just haven't quite got that, the squad depth, have we, to really make a difference in the second half like yesterday?
Not at the moment, not with the injuries we've got, no.
No.
If we had, you know, Godden, Walker, you know, Fads, you know, O'Hare, our squad would look okay, wouldn't it, on the bench? But that's the problem. We need to get bodies in because of those injuries, mainly. And I know Robbins will be doing his hardest to get a couple in. So, you know, I think good times are ahead with this new ownership. I was very impressed with I know we'll probably come on to it later, but he was very impressive in his interview. I thought it was a wonderful interview. I was very, very impressed and very excited of what he's got to say. but he's not going to throw loads of money at it, especially initially anyway. And it's going to take its time. And I think Robbins will maybe probably get one or two in before the window shuts. And I think with the season we've had generally and how bad it's been and the amount of injuries had, the palaver with the stadium, as long as we finish mid-table just below, I'll be happy with, and then we can reset for the summer.
I think the thing you say there, though, Andy, mate, which just sums it up, is, you know, you listed those players, if they're in the squad and you use the word that I'd use, you'd say the bench would look okay. But that at best, our bench is okay, which is not good enough. You know, even with everyone fully fit, the bench is still a 5 out of 10, really. You know, because we say about Walker, yeah, he'd be a name on the bench, but does anyone really think he's going to come on and make a difference? Not really. You know, it's the bench has been poor from the start of the season, only having one left wing back in the squad. And the problem is, as soon as we've had a few injuries, the bench has gone from like a 5 out of 10 in best case scenario to a 1. Like last week, it was literally a 1 out of 10. And this week, it was probably a 2 out of 10 because we had, you know, we had two defenders who we could bring on, one of them playing on the wing, which we've not played with wingers in about 3 seasons. So, I mean, I found that pretty entertaining, you know.
Yeah, that was the thing, wasn't it? It was like the most attacking change we could make was to bring on a wing back, you know.
Like in a position where we'll get on to him, but he literally looked like he'd never played there in his life. I remember thinking, you know, not to judge a player after one game, but I just thought that did not look like he was, you know, at home, you know, in that position, sort of being so high up the pitch, sort of, you know, it was, but obviously that was the only change we could make, I guess, you know, because clearly that the other players are literally making up the numbers on the bench, you know. I mean, that cliche couldn't be more apt for our bench at the moment. But I agree with you, Andy, you know, we'll touch on it more, I guess, later on. But I think it's about getting the right players in and having a better strength and depth. Robbins has alluded to it time and time again in his last few weeks, especially since the takeover has been, you know, a possibility, then a reality. And obviously he knows where we're going to be able to strengthen moving forward. So the bench was, I think that's what's killing us, to be fair, at the moment. You know, you went, Wardy, last week to Burnley. Oh, obviously I watched it on it, battered him. You know what I mean? And if we'd had a bench where we could have brought, or if we'd had one player who we'd have considered bringing on, we'd have won that game. And it was the same again, really. Yeah, yesterday we didn't have anything to sort of try and wrestle back control, did we?
No, disappointing. And obviously, really, really poor start to the game, Ross. 3-0 down after 19 minutes. It's just, like you were saying just before we came on, you know, similar to the Wrexham game, just put ourselves in a really poor position. And, you know, talk us through some of those goals, because it was some really poor defending, wasn't there?
It was absolutely woeful. I mean, the Wrexham game, that was some of the worst defending I've seen us do for a while, but this like beat it. You know, it was just shocking from a corner. You know, we conceded from a corner last week, and then this week it was like we were half asleep. It was like that we all just hadn't, you know, defrosted, you know, sort of thing. And we just, no one marking up, so easy. They never score an easier sort of goal. And then the second goal, I mean, the second goal, I think, probably annoys me the most, because it was sort of like the amount of space their player had initially, and then we said, look, Norton Cuffey gets back, looked like he's sort of recovered, the guy still cuts in, gets a shot, and Wilson has to be doing better there. We don't score goals like this. I say it every time I'm on the podcast. Normally we don't see us score a goal like that where you go, oh my word, we've been handed one there, really, you know. And that was just shocking. And then the third goal, it was just too easy. It was like a game of FIFA. It was just like no one tracking the runners. I mean, Pukki's a good striker, don't get me wrong, but he didn't do anything extraordinary. He just ran behind the defender. The defender didn't track him, and he pulls the ball back and the guy finishes. I mean, they're a good team, but they didn't do anything that we shouldn't be able to do. You know what I mean? It wasn't, they weren't doing stuff where I was like, wow, you know what? He is just, that was unbelievable. It was just very simple stuff, effective. And we just weren't awake to it. And it was absolutely, it was criminal defending. It reminded me, like, we spoke before we came on, what about the Oval game? It reminded me, the game I always think back to is in Russell Slade, when we lost to Swindon at home and Yakubu was playing. We got lost 3-1, and every time, like, they had Nicky Ajoze playing, and they just carved. It was the worst defending of, I still, you know, it was Jordan Turnbull and that Nathan Clark, I think. And it was just, it was a it was appalling defending. Like, I've never seen anything like it. And yesterday reminded me of that. I just thought, oh my word, are these professional players, you know? So it was very disappointing, and I wanted to leave, but I was like, no, I stuck it out.
Yeah, no, you mentioned that Yeovil game as well. I kind of felt like that because, at 3-0, I mean, quite a few people around me did actually leave or went to get a beer either way. Very early beer for half-time. But it was one of those where, everyone kind of felt like leaving, really, and going watching it in the pub. But then you obviously get one back, and it's kind of a bit of a weird one because it gives you a bit of false hope, really. That second goal, Andy, poor from Wilson, and I suppose probably a good time to discuss the goalkeeping situation. Been a lot of chat on Twitter this week about it. Obviously, Wilson got his new contract. Just wondered what your thoughts were on him, and is that contract for him to be second choice next season? Are we going to get a new number one in? What are your thoughts on that?
I was pleased that he signed the deal. I think he's earned it. I think generally this season he's been okay. Not outstanding, but okay, steady. Let's get it right. That goal was poor. Should have saved that. No problems with that. Weak wrists, not good enough. But I think generally, but then again, 2 minutes, 3 minutes later, he made a wonderful save around the post from their lad to keep us, in the game. So I think no mistake. I think he's an average keeper. I don't think he's outstanding. I like his temperament. He's jolly. He's good round the place. Not a problem with that. But because of Simon Moore's terrible form, he's had to play. There's been no choice. To answer your question, would I have another keeper in next season? Yes, I would. Whether to play first or be, challenging Wilson, I definitely would do that, yeah. Because I don't think there's much future for Simon Moore at the club anymore, unfortunately. And I was a big fan of his. But no, I would definitely bring another keeper in the summer, yeah.
Yeah, I think Simon Moore will be willing to play games, won't he? Whatever, even if that's potentially dropping down a level, I don't know. But I know he's played as number two most of his career, and as Wilson, and probably wants to have that breakthrough in his career. Ross, what have you made of the goalkeeping situation?
Well, I think obviously you've got to remember this season we've kept a remarkable amount of clean sheets, which obviously at the start of the season, when Simon Moore was in and making those mistakes very early on, and obviously with the pitch issues and everything compounded, it looked like, on my word, defensively we were atrocious. And then Wilson came in, everyone was saying he needs to come in. Moore had been given three chances, and he's kept a lot of clean sheets. I see some people on Twitter sort of, and I agree with Andy. I think overall he is probably like an average slash sort of decent keeper. I think he's probably a very good second choice, really, because he can come in and do a good job. But I see people on Twitter sort of like slating him, saying, giving him no credit. I'm thinking, the clean sheets are not all down to the defence, and they're not all down to the goalkeeper. It's a combination of them both. I mean, people have to attribute credit to Ben Wilson for these clean sheets. And I actually think, apart from the second goal yesterday, which was, he's got to be saving that. He is generally, I think, shot stopping is his probably biggest strength. He's made some remarkable saves. And his highlight reel for us in terms of shot stopping would be very good. Now, in terms of coming off his line, crosses and other stuff, I don't think we've had a keeper who's been good at that for years. And that's something I would want us to address. And I think, I agree with Andy, I think a new goalkeeper will come in. I think Moore sort of had his chance. And I think the Wrexham game was almost the final nail in the coffin for him, to be honest with you. That was a chance for him to come in, try and keep a clean sheet, look confident. And it did the opposite, didn't it? So I think Wilson's here to stay. I'm glad about that. But he needs to be number two. And I think we need a number one goalkeeper coming in. Maybe someone a bit younger, someone sort of, heading into their prime, who could be our number one for 3, 4, 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm pleased that he signed a new contract. I do like him. And I think he has done well this season. I don't think anyone can dispute that, really. But can we do better? And that's the thing that I'd ask about maybe 6 or 7 of the team who started yesterday. Can we do better?
Yeah,
with players who are going to start the first game of next season. And I think the answer is, if we're being honest, if we want to progress and do what Doug King said, which is knocking on the door of the playoffs year in, year out, I think the answer is yes, we can improve in quite a few areas.
I suppose it's like, in terms of the goalkeeper recruitment, I suppose we have been signing number twos and trying to turn them into number ones, haven't we? Is it time that we went and signed someone who's been a number one, I don't know, in League Two or League One, or, perhaps investing a bit more in that position?
I think so. I think goalkeepers win you points. And Ben Wilson said it in his interview, you know, he had been a number two. He's barely played that many games, you know, for someone his age and the amount of years he's been in the game. He's not played, had many appearances this season. He's probably made more appearances this season than he probably had in his entire career beforehand, really, you know, in terms of actual, you know, starts, league starts and stuff. So, and I really like him, and I think he's a great number two to have because you know he can come in and you can sort of trust him. It's not like the drop-off in quality is, you know, massive or anything. But I do think we need to go out and get a, and identify a goalkeeper who is going to come in and be that Kieran Westwood, you know, someone who is going to be, have that number one shirt as theirs, you know, and he's going to win his points. Because I actually think we've got a better, with a good squad in front of, you know, a sort of a more consistent goalkeeper, that would go a long way to getting us to where we want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to the game, obviously we did get a goal back through Jamie Allen. Five goals for him this season, Andy. He's getting a good few goals for himself and a really good finish again from him.
Yeah, it was. Good finish by Jamie. Good, yeah, sliced it a little bit, didn't he? But it was a good slice, shall we say.
It's never with a lot of conviction, is it, when he scores? No, it was like, no, oh, like, not quite.
Has it gone in? Yeah. Or has it gone wide? Like he did second half, but anyway. but no, he's done okay this season. Another one that's done okay. I wouldn't say he's, you know, set the place alight, but he's that his fifth of the season, Tom? Is that
fifth.
So, that, you know, that's not decent, a bad return. Total. Decent return from him. You know, if he's knocking on the door by the end of the season of 8-9 double figures, then can't really argue with that, can you, from a midfield player? He's not everyone's cup of tea. But generally, I think for me, he's done an okay job. I don't think he's captain material. I don't think he's a leader.
Not vocal enough.
No, not for me. But he does the job well enough. He's a good squad player and he's always knocking around the first team. And yeah, for this season, I think he's had a good goal return. So yeah.
Yeah, and obviously we got the second goal back as well just after that. Got announced as Vic initially and it caused a bit of confusion, but watching it back from that sort of behind the goal angle, Andy, it looked like it was Palmer with a really good hit.
Yeah, it was a great technique, wasn't it? Side-footed it right. I thought it was Vic's goal initially, but the camera angle from Sky Sports showed it was clearly a lovely side-foot finish by Palmer. And lovely finish. And again, he I think that was his second goal of the season. Hopefully he can start chipping in with a few more goals this season. I think his fitness levels are getting better and better. I've been quite impressed with Casey Palmer this season. I think he's got a lot of ability. I think his fitness has been a problem. And we knew that when we bought him, because obviously the lack of games he's had over the last few years. But he's starting to play a lot more games regularly now without injury. So I think there's more to come from him. I think, yeah, everyone says, it annoys me because a lot of people say, oh, he's not Callum O'Hare. We know he's not Callum O'Hare. We know that we can't compare him with that. So why are you trying to compare? I know why you are trying to, because he plays in a similar position. But it's, you know, he's got a lot of ability for me, natural ability. And I think he's a good player. And I'm excited to see what more he can do. Yeah. Mm.
And he's often a little bit isolated as well, isn't he? There's not a whole lot of support around there, sort of in that attacking midfield, is there?
No, you know, I think he's been a good buy.
Between him and Vic, they're kind of having to do a lot on their own. So hard. It's hard work.
It is hard for them, especially against a decent side like Norwich, yeah. They did get isolated a lot. And I think him and Vic did quite well, to considering how isolated they were.
Yeah. And Palmer had a chance just before half-time, actually. Ross, a really good chance to potentially equalise, but went just over the bar. So good to see him, you know, confident, having efforts at goal. And that obviously would have really changed the game if that had gone in.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it was a really good hit. Just got a little bit too much underneath it. But no, great strike. And I agree, echo everything that Andy said about him, really. I think he's been a very good signing. You're only as good in that sort of position as the players sort of around you. And I actually thought the Wrexham game, he was one of the only people who came out with any sort of credit. You know, he hit the post a couple of times, scored the free kick, looked sharp. And that's what I want him to do. I want him to have a pop a bit more, because I agree. I think he's got that natural ability and technical ability to hit a good shot, as the goal proved yesterday. So I think he's been a really good signing. I think he's got better and better. He's very good at that sort of nice one-touch passes. You know, he's technically, he's up to speed with the game, which I would say sometimes with Allen, sometimes he makes the right positions, but it's just a little bit beat, just too slow, you know, in sort of the build-up of our moves. Whereas Palmer, I think, Yeah, I mean, when him and O'Hare were together for that little period, there was some unbelievable link-up, you know, one-touch play. So I think there's a lot more to come from him. I think he's working very hard. And that was the biggest thing. Bristol City fans said, you know, he's a luxury player, doesn't work hard. But, I mean, the amount of times Casey Palmer will sprint 25 yards and block a, you know, defender's clearance and stuff shows he's working for the team. So, yeah, that would have changed the game. But I sort of felt I was just relieved, to be honest. You know what I mean? To be at 3-2, because I'm not sure we really deserved it, to be honest with you. It just came out of nowhere. I think another day, Alan's shot slices wide, you know, and another day, Vic might get his toe to it first and balloon it over the bar, and suddenly it's still 3-0. I think that's just the fine margins. I think those two goals were probably a little, they fell in our favour, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, just typical, isn't it? The time we get the two goals with a bit of luck when they weren't.
We're already 3-0 down, yeah.
Weren't massively helpful for us. But yeah, and Andy, what do you think the strategy was for the second half? Because, you know, you've alluded to it. We didn't really come out, you know, fighting, and we should have been. And it just felt like, I don't know, it was a bit of a strange one. I felt like at 3-2, we had to just hang on to half time and just get to half time at 3-2. But then we came out second half and it was kind of like, well, we aren't really going for it. It was almost like we were trying to hang on for as long as we could and sort of nick it late on, perhaps. So what was the plan second half, do you think?
I don't know. Only Mark Robbins knows. I haven't got a clue. You know, like you said, I was expecting us to really go at them because they did make a lot of errors at the back. They were trying to play
out. I thought they were poor at the back.
Yeah, from the back, they were trying to play out. Obviously, Wagner wants them to do that. And they kept on giving it away to us, but we never capitalised on it, especially first half. They did it. And I thought if you pressured them a little bit more, they'd make a lot more mistakes. But we just seemed to put our foot off the gas and they just outplayed us and outpassed us. And yeah, strange. And then I suppose from a Robin's point of view, he turns around and looks from the bench. And like Ross says earlier on in the pod, that there's nothing there that can change it in a forward sense, is there? So he's a bit hamstrung on that. But I think if I was Robbins, and I would have expected a lot more from that first 20 minutes to the second half from what he got from the players. I'd be extremely, extremely disappointed with the attacking players. Really disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I don't know what you boys feel, but I feel obviously he had the three subs ready to come on, didn't he? When we conceded the fourth, and I feel like this was obviously the big turning point. I know Hamer had gone down injured. I don't know if he'd picked up a knock perhaps, but he didn't seem to be, you know, running fully at full tilt. So whether he picked up a knock, but that seemed to really kind of kill us off at that point, because it was kind of like, you know, seeing three subs, great, but it's not like three subs that are going to change the game. And actually, we're taking Hamer off. I just felt like it killed us even more. Ross, what did you make of it?
I mean, yeah, it was, the second half was very disappointing that their fourth goal was coming. You know, it didn't go how I thought it would. I thought, you know, wow, we've first half defended horrifically. We somehow gone in 3-2 down, actually, you know, and I sort of took that. And I thought second half we'll come out and we'll play hopefully like we did against Burnley, you know, the week prior, and sort of have a real go. That just never materialised. We just had no composure, and I don't know the amount of space they had. You know, I thought the back four worked last week. And then, you know, I've been sort of calling for it for a while, but it just, I don't know what was going on. Like the space, it was just far too easy. I genuinely thought, wow, I mean, if we do. Yeah, I mean, also maybe the different angle I was sat at watching the game, I was a lot higher up, and I sort of saw it from a completely different angle. I was like, crikey, you know, the amount of, it was just so easy. Like, I mean, the fourth goal was a joke. I mean, Hamer getting a knock, I think Robbins did say it was sort of just like a little, like a dead leg or something like that. But him going off, we have nothing to bring on. I mean, the central midfielders are Kelly and Howley. I mean, that is not replacing Hamer's, you know, energy. I mean, ideally, you want Alan to be on the bench and you've got another centre mid starting, and then Alan's the guy you'd bring on for Hamer and go, okay, well, he's got a bit of energy to get around, you know, and that would be the strength and depth we need to aspire to get to, I think. But I mean, there's just, the subs were just a bit deflating, especially after you conceded the fourth, because that just felt like it was game over then. You just never believed that we were going to get back into it really at that point, which was a shame. And it almost felt like, and even hearing Robin's talk afterwards, and I totally understand and agree with what he was saying, and we all know it, we've got no depth, the bench is You know, I mean, awful. But it felt like we sort of just resigned ourselves to losing the game second half, really. Tiredness, maybe. I don't know. It was just disappointing, wasn't it? And it just was a bit flat in the end.
Definitely, yeah, very flat. There was definitely tiredness there. I mean, the last sort of 15, 20 minutes was pretty dreadful to watch. I was sort of thinking about my tavern curry at that point, to be honest, and I'm ready to go. But yeah, very, very disappointing. Jamie Allen did have that chance that you mentioned, Andy, towards the end, which he pulled wide. But, you know, there wasn't much in that last sort of 20, 25 minutes, was there?
No. Should have scored, really. Obviously,
yeah, should have.
Should have scored, if I'm being honest. It was a poor miss. But it kind of summed up the second half, didn't it, that one? And if we just go back to that, their fourth goal, you know, there were six Sky Blue players round one player. And they did nothing, and they just allowed him to just shift it and score. It's just not acceptable, is it? The defending for the last bar obviously Burnley, the Wrexham game and the Saturday game against Norwich has been diabolical.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about space. I mean, Dabo at times, the amount of space players we're getting and the positioning of Dabo, I just couldn't quite believe it at times on Saturday.
Positional play was, if you're playing Football Manager, it'd be 1 out of 20. Terrible. Yeah. Awful. Coming, getting sucked in, going across. It was almost like he didn't know where he was playing. He didn't know whether he was playing right back or right centre back.
It was bizarre. That actually. It was very bizarre. I looked at it again. He was that out of position at times. It was literally, I thought, oh, we've gone to a back five now and he's the right centre back. But then the right wing back was nowhere to be seen. So there was just this humongous like space. And then I was like, or are we still at a back four? And he is just so out of position. I was like, either way, it's an absolute joke, the defending. I mean, and like you said, there was just no challenges. It's just far too easy. And actually, they had one as well, didn't they? They hit the post. Similar sort of thing where we're just afraid to put a tackle in. Why can't... When we get up in the box, Vic is manhandled by three guys. They're literally breaking a neck to stop us being able to do a pass. We literally sat off them and they could just do, you know, tick-a-tacker around us in our own penalty area. It's just, you're just asking for trouble. And again, near post, Wilson shouldn't be getting beat there, really. You know, he's hit the strike well, but I mean, I don't think we're scoring that. Do you know what I mean? I think all in all, it was just a real, real poor goal. And that probably summed up the second half, didn't it, really?
Yeah, it did.
Unacceptable.
Andy, how much does our defensive record of late concern you?
A little bit, yeah. But saying that, we looked okay at Burnley, didn't we? Bar one set piece.
Yeah, we did.
But yeah, it does concern me a little bit. But I think he needs to start playing three at the back. I know Ross says four at the back, and I know that. But I think we need to start playing Panzo again, because he should be on the bench for us, in my opinion. I think, you know, what he was playing, I don't even know what he was playing in the first. Was Dabo playing right back or right centre back? I think he was playing right back, but I think the back three without McFadden has to be Panzo, Doyle in the centre, and Rose on the right for me. And then we've got these two new wing backs who we've brought in, or you can play Bidwell, Dabo, or Burrows as well. So that gives us a little bit of depth. But I think the defensive three, we've got to go back to Panzo and Doyle and Rose, I think, until Fads is fit.
Yeah. Do we know how long Fads will be?
I don't know, to be honest.
Fair heard somewhere.
I think we'll have another centre back in probably playing before he's back, I think. True. You know, it sounds like he's dead. We miss obviously the depth of what Higham brought, but just like a bit of composure. You know, like Doyle's been fantastic and he had a run of unbelievable games, but he is only 19, so he's gonna have games where he's like and he had a bad one. Yeah. Panzo's young as well. And Rose, he's not like the natural sort of leader sort of thing.
No.
And I look at it and I go, Fads is a huge miss, but at least with Higham, you had someone who also was experienced there, could play in the centre, play right centre back. I was a big fan of Higham and obviously Robbins was as well, but we just obviously didn't replace him. So the problem is we need to get a centre back in, but it's weird because you look around the team and you go, oh, but we also need some other options going forward, you know? So the defensive record is a bit concerning.
I know it's tough, lads, when we lose, but in terms of man of the match from yesterday, who was your pick, Ross?
Oh, well, that's difficult, you know, to be fair. That is really difficult.
So I saw on the Andy put it out on Twitter, and someone replied saying, "Why are you even asking this?"
No one jumps out. No one. Not one. Not one player jumps out to me. To be honest with you, I actually thought I go through the whole team, and I just think there was moments throughout where I was like, "Oh my word!" You know, the inconsistency. It almost, you know, as us as a team and individuals. I don't know if I can give one, to be honest with you. Maybe. I don't know. I honestly don't know, mate. I'll let Andy answer this one. I have no idea.
Palmer for his sweet finish. And that's about your lot. And I spent mention to Vic as well. I thought he held the ball up quite a
Yeah, probably. Times. Yeah, fair.
He got manhandled, like Ross said. But I thought at times he showed his quality.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We'll now move on and preview the Huddersfield game next weekend at the CBS. Ross, it's a big game against Huddersfield. It's one that, you know, we need to get 3 points in. How have you found Huddersfield this season? What do we know about them?
Well, we know they're a terrible team and we need to be winning the game. It's as simple as that. I think the game is our game in hand, our final game in hand of obviously the games that were postponed due to the pitch issues. They're third from bottom. They've got a game in hand on Cardiff, so they'll be looking at it thinking, well, if they were to beat us, they'd go out of the bottom three. You know, their marquee signing was Martin Waghorn in the January window. Sums it up.
Who won't be available.
Presumably. Who won't be available. I wish he was, in a way. you know, a guy scored a penalty and one goal from open play in 2 years. I mean, yeah, they're a terrible team. And they're nowhere near as good as the two teams we've just played. So, I mean, you look at their stat. I mean, they've only won two away games all season. They're very inconsistent. I mean, they've got like green, like wins, like dotted around here and there. Mostly defeats. They don't score that many goals. Yeah, they're third from bottom. They're in the thick of it.
Guaranteed a 1-0 win away at us then.
Probably, yeah. But I mean, the thing is, I look at this game and I think, I mean, their top goal scorer's got 5 goals, the same as Jamie Allen. And I had no idea that Jamie Allen had 5 goals. That really took me by surprise. And obviously, I'd still give me a new credit, Wardy, because ever since we spoke to him at the Sky Blue Tavern, he had scored 0 at that point. So he's gone on a bit of a flurry since.
He was inspired, Ross.
Well, mate, he was. When I reminded him of the goal he scored against us, I could see his little, he was like a Cheshire cat. And he smiled and realised his inner potential. But, but in terms of this game, I think this decides the season, to be honest with you, in terms of, I think if we win the game, play well, hopefully have another new signing or two, you know, in the squad and go back and maybe play the two new wing backs and go at them and score a couple of goals and win, then the table looks good, and you know, and we're thinking, okay, we're mid-table. You know what I mean? We'll be fine. If we were to lose, you know, we wouldn't be out of the woods or anything. There would be that little lingering sort of, look, we're not going to go down, but we'd be sucked into this sort of battle that we look like we'd sort of remarkably got away from. So I think it's a very big game. There's no excuses. We've got a whole week now to prepare, and I want to see us take the game to them. You know, and quick start, a bit like what Norwich did to us, you know what I mean? Come out, score a couple of goals and just try and take the game away from a team. It'd be good to respond and score 3 or 4 at home, keep a clean sheet and get 3 points, but it's never quite as simple as that because they'll be fighting for their lives. So yeah, tough game expected. We never make it easy, do we? So regardless, it'll be a tough game, but one we need to be looking to win.
Yeah. Is it a must-win game for you, Andy, Swamp?
Yeah, defo. Yeah, we've got to be getting 3 points out of this one. None of these draws or, you know, or even anything worse. We have to win this game. It's a huge game because, like Ross says, you know, if we win this game, the table looks a lot better. You know, we can look upwards instead of downwards. Because if you lose this game, you start looking downwards, and that's not a place you want to be looking. So it's...
Yeah. I think it's interesting, isn't it? The table's starting to take a little bit more shape.
You've sort of got, now, yeah.
There's that little bit of a gap now to the playoffs. There's that group sort of chasing the playoffs, which is a few less teams now. Yeah. There's obviously the middle pack that we're in at the moment, and then there's that sort of pack towards the bottom. Mm. And I think, you know, we all feel fairly comfortable in that middle pack, sort of, you know, knowing that we might not make playoffs, but we should stay up. But if we start creeping towards that bottom pack, I think people will be starting to get a little bit nervous, and you know,
they will.
You know, you're not City fans, I like it.
Yeah, I do.
It starts getting a bit worrying. So we've got to keep out of that. And teams like Huddersfield are obviously trying to chase us in that pack. So
yeah,
it's a big game.
Yeah, it's a huge game. And I fully expect us to win. I think, like Ross has said, we've got a week now to prepare for it, which is important. We can get, you know, maybe a couple of signings in the building, which will be good. And look forward to it. You know, like we said, maybe get a couple of new lads, the two wing backs, start them playing, get them up high, get Panzo at the back, you know, start the back three is what I just said earlier, and then go from there, because we should have enough quality to beat Huddersfield.
Yeah. Ross, would you agree with that? Would you be going back to the three at the back with the new lads at wing back, or would you do something different?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we need to go back to sort of the tried and tested. You know, I thought the back four against Burnley worked and looked really, really good, but then it was literally chalk and cheese. You know, yesterday against Norwich, it was like horrendous. So I don't know with that one, actually. So I think we need to go back. I think if we're going to play the back five, though, I do think we need that Bidwell just hampers us going forward. And I've said this on so many pods. When we were, like last year, the formation is at its scintillating best when the two wing backs are like so high up, they are level with the two strikers or the one striker. Bidwell just doesn't do it. And even when he gets in a position to cross, his crossing just lets us down. And so I just feel like, give this Wilson Esbrand, get him on. Mm-hmm. Panzo left centre back, Doyle, Rose, Norton, Cuffy, and then get Sheaf and Hamer, and then Palmer, Allen and Jokeres, and just go for it. And then hopefully we might have signed another player or two before the game. And that's what we need to do. We need to go at them. There's no point sort of, I don't like the reactive stuff, you know, especially if we've got no bench, like Robin said, let's just be proactive, because it makes no difference then, if we can't change it, we might as well just play the go attacking. And, you know, I mean, this guy from Man City comes with like rave reviews from their fans, and that's why I'm not going to judge him on yesterday, because I did feel like he was sort of thrown in totally out of position.
I was going to say, it probably wasn't the best game for him, was it? Didn't have the best of games, but it is really hard coming in, you know, when he did, coming onto the pitch when you just conceded and, you know, trying to make a difference in that sort of flat atmosphere and everything. But like you say, if he can make a start, I think he can make much more of an impact, hopefully, on the team. Yeah. What are your predictions, chaps, for Saturday? Andy, you can go first.
I think we'll win 2-1. I think I'm quite confident we're going to get 3 points. As long as Robbins plays the right team.
Ross?
1-0.
A nervy 1-0.
Nervy 1-0, but clean sheet, and we'll all be, you know,
happy again.
Buzzing.
Fingers crossed. Just before we finish, just wanted to obviously chat about the ownership situation. Obviously, first pod since, for us three anyway, since the ownership got confirmed. And obviously, Doug King's first press conference as well happened on Thursday, which obviously got a lot of pretty positive reaction from the fan base in general. But just wanted to see what you boys thought on that. Andy, how did you feel having listened to Doug and his plans for the club?
Yeah, I was kind of got glued to it. Obviously, you hear from a lot of owners and you switch off after 2 minutes. But, you know, the video was like 8 minutes and I couldn't take my eye off it, not because of his hair, but just because the way he was coming across, he was coming across really well. He said the right things that made sense, in my opinion. He said he's not going to throw loads of money at it initially. He said it's going to be done the right way. And he also made a good point about Robbins, that obviously they've got a close relationship already, which is good, because obviously he's massively key to our success, Robbins. Let's not make any mistake about that. He still is. And I really enjoyed the interview. When I came off and after watching it, I was really, really buoyed by it. And that's when I went into the game on Saturday, really buoyed by everything and really looking forward to the game. So I'm not going to take Saturday's bad performance and put me down. I think we've got a lot of exciting times ahead under Doug. I think I was massively impressed by him.
Yeah. Yeah, it was felt to me a little bit like, obviously, looking at the bigger picture, you know, there's...
You got it.
You know, that game on Saturday isn't going to define our future or season even, but it just felt like the timing of Doug coming in and having that game and that defeat, you know, even just potentially a blessing in disguise for him to just see what we need, you know, for him to see it in front of him and see that we're struggling in terms of the squad depth. Mm-hmm. If everything was rosy as an owner coming in, then you wouldn't perhaps need to be doing too much. But there are some challenges for him to work on. It feels like there's sort of three probably main things, Ross. There's obviously the players' contracts for the big three. There's obviously getting new players in the club, and there's obviously the stadium as well. How would you be prioritising those three areas if you were Doug King?
Well, I think first and foremost, obviously we've got to deal with the current transfer window that we've got less than 10 days of. But, you know, I see a lot of people and people need, they pick and choose what they listen from what he said. It sort of blows my mind. People are saying, concerning that he didn't come out and like build story, say we're going to give tens of millions and just splash it, you know, and invest heavily. Because as we see with other clubs, you know, we want the club to be not in a mess, do you know what I mean, in a few years by trying to do something and it's sort of failing. I was very encouraged as well when he said it's about doing it the right way, you know, but he's not afraid to invest. And if something's right, we'll do it. So he was very fluid in, you know, if there was a young player who wasn't on big wages, but he might cost a couple of million, but he's an asset for 5 years, you know, we get him on a 5-year contract and he could be worth 10, 15 million. It sounded like he'd do it. And we can actually do the Brentford model that we've all been sort of saying, but Sisu just couldn't do the other part of it, which was the reinvesting and getting new assets. I think we've got to prioritise this window. But like Robbins, I watched his sort of full sort of post-match interview and he seemed pretty relaxed. My barometer is always off Robbins. Like if Robbins isn't concerned, then why should I be? And he sounds pretty excited. I think they've both got one eye to the summer. Because at the end of the day, do fans just want us to sign people now just for the sake of it and just sign anyone, you know, and then sign them to a 2-year deal? And then suddenly we get to the summer and go, oh, actually, they've not been that good, to be fair. And now we're stuck with them until 2025. Do fans want that? Or do they want us to actually sign the people who we want to sign? Because Robbins alluded it to one player who we might not be able to get now, but it will happen down the line in the summer. Well, I'd rather wait to the summer and get the players that we want in and do it right. So I'm very encouraged by it. I think the priority's got to be try and get a forward and a centre-back in this window, whether that's on loan or a permanent. But I don't want us signing a permanent for someone if that's not who we truly want, you know, in terms of the end game. And then I think we've got to look at the stadium. That's obviously got to be... But I was also incredibly encouraged about that. You know, I mean, we've had this myth from Sisu for 14 years about... this new stadium, and he literally, with obviously being diplomatic, because obviously they're technically still owners, well, got a share of the club, it clearly isn't on his mind at all. So I think the next thing is getting a long-term deal, but I believe in him. It sounds like Mike Ashley, actually, to be fair, is nothing really to do with, you know, the sort of that Fraser's group who's got the arena, you know, they've got a different managing director and all this sort of stuff. So I think they will get a long-term deal, one that works for them, one that works for Doug King and us. And then it's the contracts, isn't it? And then I think I'm very confident that O'Hare and Hamer could sign new deals. I don't think Jokeres will. And then I think we're in a position where we have to sell him in the summer because you can't risk losing him for a free and him going into the last year of his contract. So I think Jokeres will either sign a new deal and still go in the summer, but we get a bigger chunk of money, or we won't sign a new deal and we'll sell him for 10, 15 million in the summer with 1 year left on his deal. And I think that's the way to go. And I think Robbins is, but as long as we're planning, going, well, you know what? There's this striker in League One. There's this striker who are going to cost us, say, 5-6 million of Vic's money, but they're going to, you know what I mean? And we can spread it around the team. We'll be better for it. So I'm pretty relaxed about it all, to be fair. And I quite liked when he said it's about getting the players and the fans to see that, you know, see us walking the walk rather than, you know, talking the talk and actually improving the training ground, all those things. That's stuff that we want to hear, you know, because as a club, we want to improve, but we want to do it the right way. And to me, it sounded like if we could just get through to the Premier League for one season, that would literally, that would pay for everything. Do you know what I mean? That's how it sort of came across. But he's ambitious. I actually, people always say the journey is the most exciting part of it. You know, I know a lot of people who fans of clubs who've gone to the Premier League and they actually hate being in the Premier League because they get battered every week. But the journey to get promoted is the thing that they enjoyed the most. So if year on year we're finishing eighth, seventh, sixth, and we're always in the conversation of, oh, Coventry could be on the knocking on the door for the playoffs, I'd happily take that. I don't know about you, but I'd be buzzing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, obviously plenty of stuff for him to be sorting out, like you say, with the stadium. You know, it sounded very positive around that. Like, I agree with you. I like the way he was talking about Fraser's Group as more, you know, as you know, it's obviously a business deal. They've got to get over the line rather than, you know, some people suggesting Mike Ashley, you know, being awkward and throwing his weight around kind of thing. So, yeah, that feels positive. Cool. Well, I think that's all got time for this evening, chaps. Thanks a lot for joining me. And listeners, don't forget to visit the Sky Blue Tavern for all of the big games. We'll also be running a competition very soon to win a meal for two around Valentine's Day. So do keep your eyes peeled for that. And in the meantime, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation, then all you need to do is use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.